Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
O'clock. If you're listening on the fan all over DC on 106.7 or in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1, thanks for doing so. Remember to take us with you via the Odyssey app. Odyssey is your new home for all the audio that matters to you. Download the Odyssey app today to listen to 106.7 The Fan. Right now, let's kick off the Beltway Blitz. Three teams in town you care about. Wizards, Washington football team on deck and in the hole. Let's get started. Tariq El-Bashir covers the Caps. He is on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Tariq, last time we saw the Capitals wasn't what we've gotten accustomed to with this group. A 3-0 shutout. Not a whole lot of quality chances on offense. And I really didn't threaten all that much against the Penguins. What'd you make of the performance?
It looked to me like a team that was missing its, you know, two of its bigger players. You know, not making excuses. Everyone's banged up at this time of year, especially when you start getting closer to the playoffs and you start resting guys and making sure guys are at full strength. But that's what it felt like to me. The Penguins have always, and especially this year, done a really good job of blunting the Capitals' attack. Just the way they play, just is a really frustrating style defensively. And, you know, the Capitals, in my opinion, they were chasing the game and trying to figure things out. And you almost kind of now hope that they're not the first-round opponent for the Capitals, because that could be a really difficult road, not only because of the way the season played out this year, 2-2-4, but just all the history and Sidney Crosby. And I don't know, man, I'm starting to think one of the other opponents might be the way to go.
I'm not even starting to think it. I'm thinking it. As you said, 2-2-4 against them. They didn't have Malkin. And, you know, so everybody can kind of play that game. When I think of team speed, I don't think of a straight line race, Tariq. I just think of there never being any room to breathe, kind of like you're talking about, right? They're so quick, and they're always in the way. They're always just so fast. They're on every puck. The counterattacks are there, et cetera. I was told not to worry about speed. Everybody kept telling me not to worry. The GM told me not to worry. Coaches say don't worry. I'm worried, man. I'm worried about that matchup in the postseason.
You're right. You know, it is the straight line speed to a certain extent, Danny. They get the pucks faster. They turn things that against a team with medium speed. You know, it's a 2-on-2 when it's Brian Rust. It's a breakaway. You know, there are some game breakers on that team when it comes to speed. And let's be honest about the Capitals. They are built to play one style of hockey, and you know, I think they're okay at the other styles, but I mean, they are the biggest and heaviest team and the oldest team in the NHL, and those are three things where, you know, if the stars align and you get a matchup where, you know, investing, especially early on in a series, in physical play and finishing every check and just you know, really wearing the other team out, the thought is that that'll pay off and pay dividends in games 4, 5, and 6. But if you're playing a team that just you can't hit because you can't catch them, you know, that could be a problem. You know, and you're looking at the team they're playing tonight. Look, the Rangers aren't going to make the playoffs, but the Rangers are a team that is probably the fastest team in the division in terms of just overall team speed. Caps have really struggled to contain it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Rangers because it seems like everyone just kind of didn't care that the Rangers were a terrible matchup for the Caps because they're not going to make the playoffs. But now here you are needing points and needing wins, and you're playing them in back-to-back games at the end of the year, so it's rearing its head and it matters. 7 o'clock puck drop tonight, Madison Square Garden, and they play again in New York on Wednesday. How do you feel about these two games?
Look, things have not gone that well this season between these, for the Capitals in this matchup. What I would say is I think the Capitals, after the letdown a couple of nights ago against the Penguins, I think they kind of understand that they have to really dial in and focus in. The playoffs are 5 games away. They've got to start playing playoff hockey now, because how many times, guys, have we seen this Capitals team in the Alex Ovechkin era, you know, they kind of coast into the postseason and then, you know, like a person wandering into a dark room looking for that proverbial light switch. You know, they can't find it, and you're down 1-0 or 2-0 in the series, and things don't turn out the way you want them to turn out. It's important to get to the playoffs, you know, playing your game and kind of hitting your stride. And I think they're a veteran enough group to understand the importance of that. I think the way that first round series is going to go, I think we're going to see some telltale signs here over these last few games.
Tark, thank you, buddy. Have a great week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it, dude. Let's talk some hoops. Dave Johnson calls Wizards games on the radio, and he's great at it. Dave, a couple times, second game of a back-to-back, great efforts, maybe missing a little bit in their legs, a couple heartbreakers late, losing to the Spurs early in the week, and then a tough one against Dallas with a clutch shot not going their way for Bradley Beal. Can't ask for a better look, but overall, got to be pleased with the way this group is competing and playing.
Yeah, never have you been more excited about losses. You make a great point. I never in a million years, I think on a second of a back-to-back, take Dallas into the situation. They took them in, and it's, look, you win 12 of 15, it's not an accident. And it's a wonderful combination of, yes, Bradley Beal is battling for a scoring title. Let that sink in. But then Russell Westbrook with his triple doubles. And think about it. He's getting 14 rebounds, 16 rebounds. He got 18 rebounds the other night, and 16 of them were defensive. What does that mean? It means a 6'3 guard is battling 7-foot guys for those rebounds, and he's getting them. And then fill in the blank after that. Name the player, Daniel Gafford, and Anthony Gill doesn't play for a couple of months, and he's critical in some wins. So it's just a wonderful team story going on here. Yeah, you've got Westbrook and Beal as the headline act, but then you fill in the blank. Somebody's going to step up, and that's what you look forward to each night.
Dave, this is – I'm almost cringing as I ask this question, okay? It's very sports talk radio, and I already hate it, right? It's a little bit too Skip Bayless-y for me. Anecdotally, though, I feel like Bradley Beal gets a lot of good looks at the end of games and hasn't hit those shots. Now, I'm not going to be the guy that screams about him not being clutch. I don't believe in that. But is my anecdotal thought correct? It just seems like at the end of games, Beal as a shooter has not hit as many of those shots as a great scorer generally does. Am I off base there?
You know, I probably should have come more prepared for the test, because I'd have to look back I think he gets as good as you could possibly get Saturday night, for example. But he'll be the first to tell you, and this is the wonderful thing about Bradley Beal. And I had a conversation with him that we were talking about all kinds of things, you know, personal matters and fatherhood and et cetera. But when asked about his game, here's a guy who's battling Steph Curry for the scoring title, and he says he doesn't like his game. And here's a guy battling Steph Curry for the scoring title, and it's going to change at some point. He's too good a shooter, but, I mean, come on, guys. The last 4 games, he's 28% from three-point distance. He's having a career worst in three-point shooting, yet he's averaging 31 points per game. No, you want to obviously pick up that three-point shooting, and it comes into handy in clutch situations, but that also is just a testament to his will and desire. And again, when you hear him talk about how much he doesn't like about his game, how much his mama, Besta Beal, is still texting him, telling him things he should be better on. And here's a guy who's right there with Steph Curry for the league scoring title. So I get your point about the missed opportunities at the end of the game, but I think you want to ride and continue to ride with Bradley Beal because he's going to take you places.
No, no question. Game and a half behind the Pacers. And look at this. They play the Pacers tonight here, Dave. A massive yeah. one. Pacers, I can't quite figure out. There are games where I think this team should be a top three or four seed in the Eastern Conference. Then there are games where I'm going, have they ever been in a gym before? To break this matchup down in advance of a tough road trip here coming up.
Well, the bottom line is you also have to rebound the basketball. And they are a hurting team in that department. And they do have Domantas Sabonis back, and that's critical because last time he did play, and the last time the Wizards beat the Pacers, it out rebounded them 55-37. So the fact that Sabonis is going to play tonight, he's just coming back from a back injury gives the Pacers a chance. So right now the momentum arrows are in the Wizards' favor. They win the battle of the boards like they did the previous meeting between these two teams. They win this game tonight and win the season series. And when we're talking about maybe tiebreakers in a couple of weeks, this will be a critical game tonight. It was nice of the NBA to schedule it this way because it doesn't get much bigger than this.
Dave, your hustle's unbelievable. You got so many jobs.
Tip of the cap, dude.
You work so hard. You do them all well. I admire you. Keep it up.
Well, you do the same, and I probably exaggerate. It doesn't get better than this, but you know what I'm saying. I'm excited about tonight.
Yeah.
That was an exaggeration. I get it, but I'm excited about tonight's game.
I feel you. Dave, thank you, man. Appreciate you. Let's move along on the Blitz. Our guy, Les Carpenter, does an awesome job covering the Washington football team, reporting on them. Let's talk NFL draft and what the guys pulled off in the front office. 10 picks. Maybe a little more quantity than quality, maybe in that four of those were in the final couple of rounds, but what'd you think of the haul?
You know, I thought on the surface, it looks like it could be pretty good. One, they filled some needs potentially, but two, I think they got players that seem like good value players, perhaps quality players who maybe can play a little bit. You might have your future left tackle here. You probably have a linebacker who's going to be a bit of a difference maker, just jumping off, right there. And then I think there's, you've got a receiver who could maybe be a difference maker if they're at least add to a mix of suddenly kind of intriguing receivers, which is something we haven't talked a lot about with this team.
They were very clear that they didn't really want a quarterback in this year's draft, both by action and then, comments before, afterwards, et cetera. The opportunities were there to move up and they didn't. And everyone's just kind of like, well, they didn't want one. Well, I wanted them to want one. What about that? It seems like the decision is just going to be made at some point in the future. Like we have an unlimited time to roster build. What do you think?
I would push back a little bit on the idea that they didn't want one. I think that there was at least one that they liked a lot. The matter was, do you really want to do what it takes to get that guy? And I think that would have probably, and I think that would have been trading up to, it would have been Trey Lance. And if that's the case, what do you have to trade to get him? Knowing already he probably wouldn't play a lot this year anyway, there's a lot that would have to go into that. So I think it was more that they just looked at it and realized it's probably really hard to do that. That's too costly. That's something that we don't need to do right now at the risk of a first next year, a few picks in, as well, maybe next year. It just doesn't feel worth it. So they went ahead. And anyway, I think that they would have had to probably move up to three, so that probably would have been a long shot anyway.
Les, I think we'll open up the phones and take some calls on this in a minute. I want to know what people think are positions now where they're excited about the roster, and then coming out of the draft, this is pretty much what you're dealing with, barring a minor move here or there, where they're still thin, where there are still questions. Attack either of those thoughts.
Well, obviously the one that jumps out is receiver, because you can be excited now. You have Terry McLaurin, you have Curtis Samuel is obviously going to, help just upgrade things right there. You got Kelvin Harmon coming back. Now you have a guy who's kind of exciting here in the draft, in Brown. I mean, you kind of look at it and say, well, there's like, four or five guys you could see in a mix that might be, pretty good receivers, and that would help with a quarterback who I think can get the ball to them all. I know this isn't as exciting for everyone, but I'm a little encouraged by the mix of the offensive linemen. The trade for Ereck Flowers, if nothing else, it gives you a starter quality. You could put in a tackle if you need to. You could win a job maybe at guard, or it just adds to that mix. And if you look back the last few years, they've had so many injuries on the line, and they've been scrambling midseason to find guys to fill them. If you can get eight guys that are starter quality on the line, then that, you know, that's going to help you. And I think, you know, they got a left tackle, Cosby, who I think maybe could, you know, win that job. And if that's the case, then Sadiq Charles is suddenly a guy that you're not, you know, projecting and trying to count on to play that position in the future. Maybe he could be a guard. Maybe he can, you know, eventually be a Morgan Moses replacement or something like that. Who knows? But you have options, and I don't think they've had options there before.
Outside of quarterback, Les, who on the roster benefited most by the draft? In other words, they didn't draft your replacement. Congratulations, you're the starter by default, or have a role maybe by default.
Well, I mean, the defensive line, I think a lot of places, I don't think necessarily there's going to be a tight end that jumped out there. They didn't do a lot in the secondary that will happen right away. I think they still got to kind of figure out that safety spot. There's several positions where I think that the guys that they drafted at the bottom, I think you mentioned it earlier, were depth, projects, special teams, we'll see what they become kind of guys. But I think the top half of the draft had players that I can kind of see, you know, I could see where those guys are going to fit in.
Les, we appreciate the insight. Thank you, sir. Great talking to you again.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you, buddy.
You got it. It's Les Carpenter, Washington Post. That's your Beltway Blitz. All of our guests on the Blitz come your way on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. You just heard the question we asked Les. Looking at the position groups now. Free agency, rearview mirror. Draft has come and gone. The roster is, for the most part, what the roster is going to be. So what position groups excite you now? Where are you happiest about what's been done this offseason? And where are you nervous? Where are they thin post-draft? What don't you like when you look at the roster? 800-636-1067 is the number. That's next.
So very comfortable. I really do. I like where we're headed. I like what we did. You know, I know there was a lot of question about us doing something with a quarterback, but, you know, as we were weighing our options of going through that, JP, the biggest thing we were concerned about being which was missing the opportunity to fill several other needs. And if you look at what we did with our first few picks, you know, going a linebacker, going offensive lineman, defensive back and wide receiver and tight end, we were able to fill some spots with guys that we believe are going to be guys that have an opportunity to be here a while.
Head coach, Washington football team, and the man who runs the front office, Ron Rivera, on why Washington waited until next offseason to find their quarterback of the future after going and getting Ryan Fitzpatrick. As we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, we do want to open up the Gambit DC listener lines for you guys at 800-636-1067. Here's, I think, where we want to go with this. The bulk of the player movement is over now. All offseason, you look forward to free agency because you think that's where your team's going to improve substantially. And to Washington's credit, to Rivera's credit, that happened. But then with the holes that are left, and on a team that was sub 500, there are still deficiencies after your free agency hole. You need the draft. And they needed a left tackle, and they needed a linebacker. And again, to the credit of Rivera and his staff, it looks like they filled some holes. They made some picks that will lead to immediate contributions at critical areas that were necessitating an upgrade. So I give them full credit for that, just like you do, Danny. But here we are looking at this roster, and the bottom line is there are still areas where they're thin. So I wanted to find the position group we're most excited about after free agency in the draft, and the position group we're most nervous about not being deep enough. You start wherever you want to go.
So this is my big winner of the draft, Logan Thomas. This is not a, hey, you got a chance on a bad team to catch some passes. This is, we think you can do it. And that was a vote of confidence for him. The only other tight end in the room now that's got some experience is, I think, Tack Hemingway is around. And now Mr. Bates, John Bates, is there to block. So this is your pass-catching bat, your pass-catching tight end, Logan Thomas, come on down. That tight end room, I'm kind of going, this wasn't a great draft for tight end. And New England signed every tight end that's ever caught a forward pass in the NFL who was available, so there wasn't a lot of opportunity to improve, but that tight end room is interesting to me. That's a place where I think you can make a lot of inroads and cause a lot of matchup problems. Not here in Washington, though. They're going to do that with different stuff, with Samuel and some of their wide receivers. So that was a big takeaway for me, is that tight end spot. Your best tight end right now is Logan Thomas, a guy that was a quarterback a year ago, a couple years ago.
Okay. I mean, that's one way to put it. Or you could say a guy who was awesome last season.
No, he was. He was good. My point is, like, they didn't upgrade there at all.
Understood. But, I mean, he had, you know, a monster year. Like, I don't think of him anymore as that guy was a quarterback a couple years ago. I think of him as that guy was one of the best tight ends in the NFC last year. I mean, he caught, and in terms of catches and yards, it was one of the most prolific seasons you've had from a non-Cooley tight end in, like, 15 years last season. Going for 72 grabs, 670 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And by the way, a bad offense.
Yeah, very bad offense.
I mean, an offense with terrible quarterback play. Just by, if they did nothing else and they brought the same group back with Fitzpatrick instead of Smith and the rest of the quarterbacks who played, those numbers should go up. They added talent, but I think you're right. If you wanted them to go get a good quality tight end, whether that was free agency or high in the draft, they clearly didn't do that. They drafted a fourth rounder, blocker first in John Bates, and maybe they got a lottery ticket in their hand with our boy Sammy Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're hoping.
I suppose, yeah.
But you're giggling. I mean, he, you know, Logan thinks he's going to make the team. He could absolutely be on the roster.
Be an amazing story if he makes the team. I mean, I'm thinking practice squad is that's what the practice squad
sure,
is for.
Sure, I agree.
But goodness gracious, can you imagine when he made the 53?
But this was Logan on John Bates, the fourth rounder that they took at tight end, which is Danny's position. He still thinks is pretty thin.
I think he's got way more potential than I do. I think he's got a better frame. I think he has a natural understanding of leverages, and he has long arms and uses his length really well. And it's just, I think he's going to be a really good player. I think the other thing that we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about is if you're blocking one in the NFL, you have to play special teams. And he played 3 out of 4 special teams in college. He didn't cover kicks, but very rarely do those guys do that. But kickoff return, punt coverage, you know, PAT stuff. So you get a core teams guy in addition to that tremendous inline blocking ability with enough athleticism that you can't totally, you know, stack the box with run defenders if he's in the game, because he can make some plays in the pass game. And if you watch his targets, you know, he attacks the seam well. He's a couple wheel routes. His short to intermediate quickness is not great, but I like what he does in kind of like that middle, like, you know, 8 to 16 yard range of the field. I think he's got some good weapons for that.
So you go tight end when we're talking about areas you're most nervous about not being deep enough. And we'll take your calls on this if you guys have them at 800-636-1067. Where didn't they do enough free agency in the draft to upgrade to your standards? I'm going to go defensive end, and that might sound crazy.
But look past the first line.
That's the whole
thing. That's what it is, right?
So you've got Montez Sweat, a first-round pick in 2019, and Chase Young, the number 2 pick in 2020. Two of your last 3 first-rounders starting at defensive end in a 43. They play a lot of snaps. They're young. They are in incredible shape, and they don't come off the field much.
Mm-hmm.
Good, because they're going to have to be on the field a lot. Now, knock on wood, Sweat has been pretty healthy throughout his career. Chase Young, in his rookie season, missed some time.
Right. That's reasonable, by the way. There's nothing
crazy about that. But in addition to, you know, missing action, when he came back and was playing for a few weeks thereafter, he wasn't himself because he had a hamstring issue. So we've already seen that it can happen. And hopefully, 10 years from now, those are the only games he's missed. But if Sweat or Chase Young comes off the field, who comes onto the field? The depth drop-off at end. Ryan Kerrigan, left, still a free agent. Ryan Anderson, not a great pass rusher, really good run stuffer. No longer here. Left via free agency. Has already found a home. You don't have a high-end third defensive end. James Smith-Williams, who they drafted in the 7th round last year at NC State, came on a little bit at the end of the season. I liked what I saw from him. But I liked what I saw from him as like a 4th or 5th guy at the position on the team. Not as playing 17 snaps.
The Kerrigan role, yeah.
There are other guys that they have that are, you know, free agent waiver type claims. And then they just draft 2 7th round players. William, Bradley King from Baylor, and Shaka Toney. Those two guys in the 7th round might make the roster right now. Certainly one of the two of them might, and might actually play. That tells you everything you need to know about defensive end. I wanted a third guy. My hope, Danny, is that they can still go do that. I think someone gets cut in camp, or maybe someone, you know, ends up...
They're veterans.
Absolutely. But
yeah.
The question is, like, is there a veteran who can get you 5 sacks? Is there a veteran that's Kerrigan's caliber? Because, you know, he had games where he'd have 2 sacks or 3 pressures or 4 quarterback hits and would do a lot with his reps. And that was a big asset for this defense. So I don't love behind Young and Allen, I think they're really thin and probably not good enough at defensive end.
I would tend to agree.
Young and Sweat, I should say.
No, yeah, I know what you meant. I think they get a veteran here. The veteran market right now, I mean, again, I'm just going off SpotTrack's available list. Maybe some of these guys have signed, but there's some names that used to be double-digit sack guys that aren't that anymore. It's why they're available. Everyone who you mentioned, Kerrigan, Justin Houston, Tyrone Crawford from Dallas, our old buddy Trent Murphy from Buffalo, Everson Griffin, Alex Okafor, Bruce Irvin, Adrian Claiborne, names you've heard of. Right, not superstars by any stretch. Again, there's a reason they're available all on the bad side of 30. But you ask them, hey, be a role guy. Come in right behind at either end these two young studs. Get your 20 snaps a game. You're rushing the passer. You're not going to hold up in the run game. We're not asking you to. This isn't take on block Tuesday. This is get upfield a couple times, work a couple moves, you know, get five sacks, another set of paychecks, and play in the sun.
All right, how about the other side of things? Let's get positive for a second. They have made a lot of moves that are exciting this offseason. Where do you look at the roster and feel like you can't wait to see the boys get out on the grass?
Wide receiver. Wide receiver, wide receiver. Last year, I'm going, it's irresponsible to deploy this group with a young quarterback that's still developing. Now, he didn't develop. He stinks. He's gone. I'm not lamenting that. My point is, if the plan was to see what your quarterback had, you left him with very little, with a guy that hadn't really played much tight end, one wide receiver that was worth a damn, and then you're hoping Kelvin Harmon worked out. That room has changed for the dramatically better, both with draft investment in Brown, but when you start looking at Samuel, at a solid slot receiver that they haven't had, in Humphreys as kind of your backup slot guy now, it depends on what Samuel does, but then your normal cast of, well, we hope fourth-rounder Gandy Golden, we hope sixth-rounder Kelvin Harmon coming off of injury comes back and does something. It's no longer the Isaiah Wright and Steven Sims show. I'm really excited about that receiver group.
Yeah, I think that's going to be so fun to watch in camp, not just, you know, the guys that they brought in, but the competition.
Mm-hmm.
The only issue, and I love the De'Ami Brown pick. I would have made it. I don't have a problem with it. But it does create this problem, if you want to call it that. Young wide receivers that are trying to develop have to play. I believe that unlike at other positions, right, where you can just kind of sit in the classroom, like people say, groom your quarterback for a year or two, mm-hmm, on the sideline. I think you've got to be on the grass running routes against NFL competition to actually improve. And it's not just about playing. You need targets. You need the ball in your hands. Is it a coincidence that the only guys that have kind of hit and worked out well here in Washington are the guys that have been featured parts of the offense? Now, you could say it's chicken or the egg. You can't just throw the ball to a Josh Doctson or a Taylor Jacobs or fill in the blank bust wide receiver 10 times. If he's not getting open, he doesn't run good routes. But I think you got to play. I think you need chances. You got to get targets. You got to get catches. How are you going to possibly get Cam Sims and Antonio Gandy-Golden and De'Ami Brown and any of the other wide receivers you like? Let's just say Dax Milne, who they just drafted in the seventh round at BYU. How do they all get looks in a receiving group?
It's a great question.
With McLaurin, with Curtis Samuel, with Adam Humphreys. By the way, like, Kelvin Harmon's coming back from a torn ACL. It was a bad weekend to be Kelvin Harmon.
Yeah.
So I love the wide receiver room, and I love the depth, and it's a great conversation compared to a year ago. But I think we just have to understand that competition will mean maybe one guy is able to elevate his game and get out of it.
I think it's such a good point,
Grant. But it probably stunts or stalls everybody else. Like Isaiah Wright and Steven Sims, like, it was fun.
Sorry, yeah. You know? It's like basically you've got a certain amount of hours and you've got like seven cars you're going to work on to then have go into a race. And you're going to work on the one that's going to get you the potentially the most chances to win a race. Sorry about the Chevelle. Sorry about this 98 Hyundai. We're not working on those anymore. So the guys that you mentioned, Isaiah Wright, maybe Kelvin Harmon coming off an injury. We got faster toys with better upside are going to get the looks, I
I'm
think.
Just
it's a great
about
point.
This now, though. This is crazy. So there was games last fall. I'm trying to remember which couple of games this was, where Isaiah Wright was like a featured part of the offense. Legitimately, like would get a handful of targets, and it was kind of like going through him a little bit with McLaurin. Now, if you put together a depth chart today, I'm just going to kind of spitball this. T-Mac 1, Samuel 2. I'll just say Humphreys 3 until we see De'Ami Brown 4. Let's throw Cam Sims 5, AGG 6, Steven Sims 7. Isaiah Wright's like the eighth guy here.
Yeah, it's Wright versus Harmon coming off of injury for the Wright to be the eighth spot.
I mean, that's how different. Like, he was a number two, kind of on the field, every down type guy for a couple games, it felt like. That's pretty massive development at that spot. All right, I'll save mine because we're up against the clock for next segment. So let's take some calls as well. So, Danny, you recap the position that you feel great about and bad about.
Great about wide receiver. Questions about tight end.
I feel curious about defensive end. I don't think they're deep enough behind Young and Sweat. And I'll tell you what I feel best about post-draft next. 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. Didn't realize until today.
What's up?
And I'm hoping that me telling people this right now will save at least one of you. Mother's Day's this Sunday.
It comes on you quick, doesn't it?
Yeah. I said to my wife today, I think it was this morning, all these days have blended together. I said, it's crazy. This is the earliest Mother's Day ever. She's like, no, it's always now. I said, no, it's like the second Sunday. Sometimes it's like the 18th.
I feel like sometimes it's in August, maybe. 15th. Is it June? I don't know.
I mean, it could, just by way of math, it could technically be as late as like the 20th, I think, in May. And I'm pretty sure routinely it's like around the 15th or 16th. So jumping up on me in the single digits, no file. So the prep will begin in earnest for your pal. Didn't know.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure anybody out there who's thinking, oh, it's May 3rd. I got a couple weekends until Mother's Day.
You don't. Ambush.
No, you don't.
There are a few of us out there. I'd say the majority of dudes have a date cluster that's concerning. Potential landmines for everybody, right? Where it's like wife's birthday, 9 days later anniversary, or kid's birthday, but then it's also wife's birthday.
That.
So Valentine's Day.
Does everybody have that?
I feel like most people have something where you gotta be on alert, head on a swivel. Mine's this week. Wife birthday plus Mother's Day is in the same week. This is go time. This is not a drill. Everybody run around and freak out until this whole thing is over, until we solved it.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I've got my wedding anniversary, February 10th.
Yep.
Valentine's Day, February 14th.
Right.
My wife's birthday, March 24th.
That's a boom, boom, brief respite. Don't get too comfortable.
March 26th. 2 days apart.
Yeah.
So basically February and March, it's just on.
That's a grind, man.
Got to be on.
That's a grind.
The winner of the draft for me, you said Logan Thomas was your winner of the draft. As you said, the position group you're still nervous about is tight end. I'll make a similar argument for safety. Jeremy Reeves, it was a really good weekend for you.
Right.
Reeves, who did some things that I'd say made him look like an NFL quality player down the stretch last year, playing some free safety. They want to get Cameron Curl and Landon Collins on the field at the same time. They're going to try to do that. I think Curl's going to play some rover. Collins will come down in the box. I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to try to talk him into playing some linebacker for them as they move forward this year. But right now at free safety, you've got some type of mishmash of a Curl or Collins out of position with Jeremy Reeves or Troy Apke. It'll be curious to see how they work. Derek Forrest, their fifth-round pick. Into the safety conversation.
Sounds like teams early for him, right?
Absolutely.
And then maybe growing to something. Freak
Logan
athlete, it sounds like.
That, even though he thinks that Benjamin St. Juice, the corner from Minnesota, can play on the outside early, he says he might have some safety skills if they want to put him in space. He might be able to tackle well enough to do that.
I just thought of this, and this is not very profound, and I probably should have thought of this earlier. But after you go the first couple of guys, right, where it's like starters potentially at a couple spots where there was need, there seems to be a theme of flexibility for like kind of the mid-round guys, where not necessarily a prototypical cornerback, not necessarily your prototypical safety, not necessarily your regular kind of tight end. Guys are going to do a bunch of different things for this team.
That's
I got the sense
a
maybe that's
card
a, that's
for
a thing.
Ron Rivera since
yeah.
he got here.
Mm-hmm.
He likes guys that are multiple. He wants guys that are versatile. I mean, that's why I thought, frankly, that Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa might be their pick at 19.
All
he
right,
went with
yep.
a more traditional linebacker who they liked more. But it's certainly something that Rivera preaches, harps on, talks about incessantly. Let's go to Jeff in Gaithersburg on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, guys? Got to switch my question really quick. Number one, going back to I'm going to switch it back to linebackers. We got KJ Wright's available, Quan Alexander, still free agents. So I was kind of wondering about that.
Interesting.
And what's up potential upgrade there.
You know, like just signing somebody to further upgrade linebacker. I wouldn't have a problem if you can get a bargain. I mean, late in the free agency, right, if you're getting closer to camp and a guy will sign for, you know, 1 year and $4 million or something, I would definitely do that. I just don't know what the market is for those guys, what they're looking for. It's hard to say without digging into how many meetings they've taken, who they're calling. A guy like Ryan Kerrigan is an example. I talked to him at one point within the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's not necessarily like not getting interest. It's not like he's worried about teams not wanting him. This is how the offseason goes. There's your first wave.
I understand.
I guess my point
is,
we've
got to wait for camp because there's also injuries during camp, too.
Totally. And that helps you, right? Because then there's more people to sit down in those seats.
And just so you know, Jurn Christian is going to be back out there kicking butt for sure. I know because I know him personally.
I work with him.
How do you know him personally?
I'm his Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor.
I have so many questions about that.
I have some follow-ups.
So Jurn Christian is studying Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
He's doing a lot of movement. He's not wrestling. He's doing mechanics. He's working on his flexibility. He's working on his body movement. He's getting himself in shape. You know, because he had some surgeries.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get himself in his flexibility, his mobility, his core, all those things.
Can you imagine?
He's not doing anything that's affecting. He's not doing any crazy. He's not wrestling. He's not doing that. He's just doing movements, working a little bit.
No, I get
it.
Work
with his
That's
brother
awesome.
Also.
He's working hard.
His brother played football for the – yeah, he's going to be on top of his game. I'm ready for him.
Love it.
Freak athlete.
Absolutely.
Big man.
Appreciate you, dude. Thank you very much. Can you imagine being so good at jiu-jitsu that you can instruct other people in how to do it?
That would be something.
Like, we're talking about manly men. We've talked about people that ride motorcycles, welders. How about I know jiu-jitsu well enough that you're going to come to see me, and I'll teach you how to do it.
If that guy wasn't in – wherever he was that Gaithersburg in Maryland, I think?
Is that where he was?
I'm not sure. If he wasn't in a place in Maryland that would take me 3 hours to get to, I would have been like, hey, man, I want to try some jiu-jitsu with you. Just to
see?
Just to roll around on a mat and kick bricks. And what do you do? I don't really know.
I don't know if you're kicking bricks day one.
Probably not.
That's like a day five thing, maybe?
Break a board?
Yeah.
Let's go to Disco in Laurel. What's up, Disco?
Hey, dude.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, pal.
Grant, I agree with you. I think we need to find the excellent point about the drop-off at edge rusher. I think we need to find the Tim Settle of the edge rusher. You know, Tim Settle is a guy who is a starter on any other team. And he's a guy that you're saying, you know what, if we lost one of our interior guys, we would be good. So we need to have a guy that's like, you know what, my goodness, we've got Chase Young and we've got Montez Sweat. And we've got this other kid that could realistically push one of these guys that we left. So we need a guy like that. And I'm also about safety as well. I mean, I don't know, and I know we talk about position flexibility. I don't know why we just can't draft a pure free safety. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's too hard. I just really don't know. I mean, we've been through Bakari Rambos, Madudu Williams. I mean, we've just been through a whole bunch of guys. We just need a pure free safety. So, thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. Good call. I don't think there are that many of those guys.
I think that's my response. They don't make them anymore.
I think there's probably, well, not probably. Let me restate this. There are unequivocally fewer than 32 really good free safeties in the league. I believe that. So, that's number one. I think it's harder to find than some positions. There is, and he mentioned this, the idea that a lot of teams have now of safeties being somewhat interchangeable. That's also changed the game a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like that's the chicken or the egg. I think that's because there aren't any good free safeties anymore.
Probably.
So they're like, we need to come up with something to do because we don't have Earl Thomas.
But what he's talking about, I'm guessing, and it's what I always want, is a guy who is competent in coverage, who can play the deep middle. You know, if you're going with a cover one, someone who can kind of just be responsible in center field and ball hawk a little bit, and they just haven't had it in a long, long time. And they've also thought they had it a bunch. Now, not always at free, but it's strong. You know, the safety position, it was Landry for 5 seconds. It was Chris Horton for 1 year, the Predator. Kareem Moore was going to be the next guy. I mean, all the way back to signing Archuleta. He mentioned Madu Williams and Oshimagoitagwe. Like, it's just a revolving door that doesn't ever seem to stay open. 5 at 5 is next. 5 stories we care a whole lot about. We can get into the quarterback position in the 5 o'clock hour. 10 picks. seven rounds, they didn't take one. Not a one for Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.